Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Shelter Rock Church. My name is Leslie, and I'm one of the teaching pastors on staff. And it's been a few months since I've had the opportunity to be here to speak. And so it's good to be here today. And we're wrapping up a message series that we've been in for the past few weeks called I'm In. And over the past few weeks, we've discovered that the Christian life, that there's more to it than just showing up on a Sunday morning. In fact, our hearts long for more than just that. And so today we're looking that we need to be invested in God's work, invested in God's kingdom. And if you look up the word invested or invest or investment in the dictionary, you'll see that it's a commitment that you make that promises a future reward or future benefit, something that you do now that promises something to come at a later date. And my husband has recently made an investment. Sean has this idea that, or had this idea that he wants to have an old Ford pickup truck. And he says it's for practical reasons to haul trash and big items for work. That's his excuse, at least. My theory is that it's just for nostalgia's sake and that his dad had an old pickup truck when he was growing up. And so I think he wanted one for his kids to experience as well. And so earlier this summer, we were in Virginia, where I'm from, and Sean started to notice all these old farm Ford trucks around, and so his interest level peaked up again, and he started searching and landed on a 1988 Ford Ranger, and he purchased this truck, and all through the whole process, he would say he was concerned about this, but I probably more so, as I wanted to make sure that this was going to be a good investment. I didn't want to just put money into something and for not to promise a later a benefit for us having this truck. And so there's a 1988 Ford Ranger sitting in our driveway without air conditioning that we drive around for fun, the fun of it. But right now, it's a fun investment for him. And the truth is the matter is that we always want to have almost like a promise that what we invest in is going to end up being a success and not a failure. But we really don't know. There's no guarantee that what we commit, whether it's into the stock market or a business venture, maybe it's investing in a person, or maybe you're investing in yourself by attending personal growth classes or whatever it might be. You know, there's really no guarantee of those investments. But what I want to look at today is an investment that is definitely well worth our time, well worth our energy, well worth our money, because it's an investment that Jesus focused in on as he started his earthly ministry. It's an investment that he says, I've come to do this. And so I think that's a pretty wise investment for us to take a look at today. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, where we unpack to see what is this venture that Jesus has come to do, that God is inviting us to invest in today. So Psalm 146, we're going to read verses 5 through 10. You can follow along if you brought a Bible, or also will be here on the screen. Psalm 146, verse 5 reads, "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the wicked, the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord." This passage of scripture that we have before us here in Psalm 146, it's a powerful image of who our God is and what he is able to do. It's an image of who our God is and what he is able to do. And if you look again here in verse 5, it says that our blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Today, I want us to see that our God gives help and our God brings hope. Our God gives help and our God brings hope. Next, here in Psalm 146, verse 6, we get a glimpse of who our God is. And so if you read here with me, it says, "He's the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them." This is a picture that when the reader would have seen it, and for us too, it causes us to think back to the creation account in Genesis, where God, by his power, by his might, speaks into existence. Everything in the sky and on land and in the sea, everything in creation was spoken into existence by our powerful God. And so he has all rule, all reign, all dominion over everything in the sky and on the earth and in the sea. That is the realm of his power. In ancient times, as well as throughout history, it was the role of the person who had the power, whether that's a king or a landowner, a governor, whoever it might be, the person with the power was to, it was their role, it was their responsibility to care for those in under their authority, under their power. And so we have accounts throughout history where people in authority would misuse their power, would abuse their authority. And as a result, we see oppression. As a result, we see injustice throughout history and even in our world today. Well, why should we trust in our God then? Why should we trust? He's the one who has all the power, all the authority. If you look again in verse 6, it continues talking about our God, because you see, our God isn't like human authority, human power. It says that our God remains faithful forever, meaning that he has all the power, all the authority, and yet he defends, he protects, he provides, he cares. And he remains faithful forever, meaning that he's not going to change his mind tomorrow. He's not going to say, oh, I have all the power, now I'm going to use it against you. He will remain faithful. He remains good and will not oppress. He is faithful to his word. Well, let's look here, continuing in Psalm 146, to see how our God cares for those who are in his authority, who are under his power. In verses 7, 8, and 9, we read that God upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, sets prisoners free, gives sight to the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down, loves the righteous, watches over the foreigner, sustains the fatherless and the widow. All of these verbs throughout these three verses, they're active participles, meaning that they are ongoing. They're not a done deal, that God has cared about these things. God is doing those things, and he continues to do them even now. This is something that God cares about today. He cares about protecting and lifting up, setting free, and sustaining. Well, who are the people that God cares for and to setting free, lifting them up? If you look here again in verses 7, 8, and 9, these are the recipients. It's the weak, the oppressed, the hungry, the prisoners, the foreigner, the blind, those who are bowed down, those who are righteous, meaning who are just, who are innocent, the fatherless and the widow. Those are the recipients of God's care. Those are the ones who he looks and defends for. Now listen, this is a perfect image of what it means to invest in the kingdom of God, and it's the complete opposite of what you would assume you are to invest in if you were to get a good return for your money, a good return for your time, a good return for your effort. Because by every worldly standard, we should invest in the powerful, we should invest in the popular, we should invest in the people or the things that are doing well and have the most influence. But not so in the kingdom of God. God is about caring for the weak, the humble, the poor, the sought after. Those who he seeks after are those who are weak and poor in spirit and heart and humble, those who are in need. That's what God invests in. And so if we're going to invest in anything in this world, we need to take note of how God spends his time, how God uses his authority, how God uses his power, and where he puts his attention. You see, our God, he redeems. Our God, he delivers. Our God, he provides. Our God, he protects. Our God gives help, and our God brings hope. Our God gives help, and our God brings hope. Now listen, oppression exists. Injustice exists because of sin. There are people in authority, people with power who misuse their authority, abuse their power. And so sinful people do sinful things and use their power and influence in wrong ways. And as a result, we see injustice and oppression in our world, throughout history and in our world today. You know, a government, maybe it's a person, maybe it's an authoritative body of people who are misusing their power and suppressing the rights of people. And I'm talking about basic human rights, rights that belong to every person, every individual in their world, because they were created, made, loved, valued by God. And this breaks the heart of God. You see, as a result of sin and as a result of abuse of power, over 40 million people today are in slavery. Over 40 million men, women, and children are trafficked, are exploited, sexually exploited, whether on the internet or in person. They're forced into labor. They're sold as if they're an object and not an individual. Over 40 million people. Of that 40 million, one out of four is a child. I'm not talking about something that happens just over in other parts of the country. I'm talking about things that are happening here in New York, in our backyard, in our country. Over 40 million people are in slavery and in some kind of slavery today. And this grieves the heart of God. You see, the one who has all authority, all power, all dominion, he uses, our God uses his power to provide and care and protect and set free. And so this grieves the heart of God when he sees power misused and abused in these ways. But you see, our God gives help. Our God gives help, and our God gives, he brings hope. If you notice at the end of verse 9 here in Psalm 146, it speaks to how our God gives help and how our God brings hope. It says here that the Lord frustrates the ways of the wicked. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. You see, our God is just. He's about doing what's right. And as a result, he's going to frustrate the ways of those who are carrying out evil and wickedness in our world. You see, God is about protecting and providing. And so when he sees the injustices of the world, he is about ruining or frustrating the plans and the plots of those who are carrying out these injustices because they're against the heart of God. We can trust that our God is active. This is an active participle again, that God is in still today frustrating and ruining these plans. Well, I want to introduce you to a boy named Kumar who's from India. Kumar has been a recipient of the injustices of our world, but he's also seen how God has frustrated the plans of evildoers as well. So take a look here at his story.
You're working 14, 18-hour days with very little sleep, no freedom. Dignity is taken away from them, and that's something nobody should have to endure. We had, a number of years ago, two of the bond laborers escaped from a facility. And they were tracked down by the owners of the facility and brought back. And as a punishment for what they had done, their hands were chopped off.
We would go to the government officers and we'd say, "Sir, there is a bonded labor case." And almost always the response was, "There is no bonded labor in my area. What are you talking?"
How much? 30?
Yeah, I'm free.
Ruchira, there's a girl who's very afraid.
Almost unable to walk.
This is Kumar. He was abandoned by his mother, and his father was suddenly killed. Orphaned and alone, he was accountable for his parents' debts. And at just 7 years old, he was forced into slavery.
Kumar
Kumar remembers a day where he was so ill he couldn't get out of bed. Immediately, his owner came looking for him. Kumar was trapped by debt and a slave owner who beat him continuously. He, like so many, had no remaining hope for a way out. IJM discovered the horrific conditions in the brick factory where Kumar and others were being forced to work against their will. And, based on their undercover video evidence, local government authorities and police came alongside IJM to conduct a rescue operation.
The more and more we are doing these rescues, people are getting aware that people are being abused. There is bonded labor, there is trafficking. Also, the law is going to take its course as well as perpetrators go behind.
When the team arrived in the morning and entered the brick factory, 15 men, women, and children were rescued and given their freedom back. Then, they were each given a certificate to prove that they no longer owe any debts to their former owner. And one was for Kumar. After being rescued, IJM placed Kumar in their aftercare program to heal.
You'd ask him a question anytime, no matter what, and he would say, the one thing I want to do, sir, is I want to study. He was clear about that.
And then they enrolled him in school for the first time. Today, he is studying to be a social worker, to help those still suffering like he did.
And what we do at IJM is we go look for that lost sheep, that girl that's being abused, that widow who's been run out of her home. And we will search for her until we find her. That's how our Father has loved us. That's how we are called to love others. Not to search for them until we've satisfied ourselves. Not to search for them until it gets really hard. But to go after them until we find them. To be relentless in our love.
Videos like that, when we hear stories like that of Kumar, it's easy for us to be a mix of emotions, saddened, overwhelmed, grieved, mad, upset. I know I experienced all of those emotions leading up to this week and as well as seeing the story again. And so we think, what can we do? What can we do? I want to point our attention to Jesus. I talked about him earlier in saying that when he started his earthly ministry, when he said, this is what I've come to do. In Luke 4, we read that he says, I've come to proclaim good news to the poor. I've come to set the oppressed free. I've come to bring freedom for those in bondage. Jesus says, this is why I have come. And we know ultimately that Jesus came and he came to set us free from the power of sin in our life and the power of sin in the world around us. He came to ruin and frustrate the evil plans that sin has for you and for me. That's what Jesus came, and he broke it through his death and resurrection on the cross. He conquered it. He has the victory over it. And so if you and I are followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to follow in his footsteps, to follow in his ways and his investment of what he came to this earth to do, to set people free. We're talking about freedom from sin as well as freedom from the result of sin in our world. And we have the privilege to join him and to make an investment in what he has come to do. And so today is, we are calling Freedom Sunday. Today is Freedom Sunday, where churches across our nation, across our world, but us specifically here in New York, we're taking today to focus and to discover again God's heart for justice. To remember the reality of modern day slavery, and also to partner with the International Justice Mission of what they're doing to fight against human trafficking. And so I want to give you a few steps of what you can do, because listen, it can be overwhelming. Like, what can I do? How can I make a difference? Well, here are three practical steps, and I want to encourage you to think about them, because I'm not sure if you've heard this saying before, but do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Maybe it will change the world, but for almost certain, it's going to change the world of that one person. It might even change your world as well, your heart, your perspective. So here are three steps for you. The first, I want to encourage you, is to pray. I'm not trying to give you some churchy answer. Just pray about it. I really mean this, to pray. Because this is God's work. This is God's mission, that we get to join in with him, and we want to fight against the injustice, the oppression of the world. So first, we can pray. A great organization called A21 is part of this fight against human trafficking. And if you have the YouVersion Bible app, if you don't have it, first of all, I encourage you to download it. If you have a smartphone, to download it. You can carry scripture with you wherever you go. It's a great way. I use the app almost every day. But inside of this app, if you search for A21 Prayer Guide, it's a 7-day prayer guide to walk you through to pray specifically for 1 week. 1 week to pray against oppression and injustice and human trafficking in our world, to pray to release the over 40 million people, men, women, and children held in slavery today. So first of all, I encourage you to pray. Do for 1 week, maybe what you want to do for a year, but you can do it for 1 week. Secondly, I invite you to participate. To participate. On October 17th, a great organization we partner with as well is called Cycling for Change, and they have a hope walk. You can walk, you can run, you can cycle to fight against human trafficking as well. They have a table out on the front lawn. You can stop and find out more information about that. But these are two reasons why I think you should participate. The first off is, by you being a part of this event, you bring awareness to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, your neighbors, that human trafficking, that slavery still exists today. Because many times it is off people's radars. People think it's not even happening today. So by you being a part of this event, you bring awareness to the reality of the modern day slavery. Secondly, by your participation in this event, you allow funds to be raised as a support for you to go and again support great organizations like the NOMI Network to again fight against human trafficking, fight against oppression and injustice. So you can pray, participate, and then lastly, you can partner. Partner. We're going to partner with International Justice Mission this year. Our church has committed by faith $10,000 to IJM and to the field offices there in Bangalore and Chennai, India, because they are doing tremendous work. And this is why specifically, because in South Asia, there are 15.5 million people still in bonded slavery today. 15.5. So we want to join with what IJM, we saw it in the video, what they are doing there in that region, in that area, to fight against trafficking. So far today, IJM has rescued over 8,000 children, men, and women there in that area. And so this is how you can give to the endeavor. If you go to the church's giving page, whether on the app or the website, you can go in the drop-down menu to say where it says where needed most. And the first $10,000 that come in goes directly towards those field offices, to the work IJM is doing in that area. And this is a faith step. We don't have the money yet, but we're committing by faith that we're going to partner with IJM to make an impact in rescuing more those in South Asia. IJM has a table on the front lawn as well. You can stop out there and learn more about this endeavor, their work in India, and their work in other places around the world. But those are three practical ways that you can do for one, whether it be 1 week, one country, one event, you can do for one what you wish you could do for everyone and see the difference it makes in your heart and in your life, because you are investing your time, your energy, your effort, your money into the very things that Jesus says, I've come to do. I've come to bring freedom, to set captives free from the power of sin and the result of sin that we see evil throughout our world. So let's take action today. These are very simple steps that we can do that make powerful impact around our world. So I encourage you to do that today. You can pray, participate, or partner. Because you see, our God gives help. Our God brings hope. And we are called to do likewise. Would you pray with me? God, we want to have your heart. We want to have your heart for those who are being held down and oppressed, for those who are hungry, who are in need, who are weak, without power. God, you have blessed us so much here in our area. God, we want to be ones who carry out your mission. What you said for us to invest in your kingdom, is to look at the humble, the poor, those who are in need. God, we want to be that kind of person as we depend upon you in and out of our daily needs. But God, we want to be followers of you who look out for those who are in need, who care for those, who defend those who have no voice. God, use us. Show us what it means to do for one what we could do for the 40 million who are held in bondage today. Do a work in us, we pray, God. Call us to pray on behalf of those suffering. God, may we participate. May we do something. Take one step today. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.